Amen. Church, how y'all doing today? I am pumped up. As of right now, I will say I got here this morning. I was tired. I didn't sleep good last night. Adeline started a little cold on Wednesday, runny nose. Then Callie woke up Thursday morning. Daddy, my nose is stuffy. And then Amber started feeling a little scratchiness. And then yesterday I woke up this morning feeling like cat claws are just in my throat. I said, you know what? I got this. Let's do this. God said, you got this. Let's do it. So I finally got my energy. Like just during that last worship set, the first service, I apologized to them. You know, my heart was completely in it, but I don't think I had drank enough coffee yet. But the worship was amazing. We got an awesome band. God has blessed us. Really, really, really has. I'm super proud of our church. As last night we served, I think it was our third time serving the church under the bridge. It was great to see so many people serving. I know there's some people that have never done it before. It was your first experience with us as a church going out there, and probably first in general. But seeing our church just go serve, willing to serve, interact with people they've never met, and let alone somebody that might be in a different atmosphere in life, a different season of life than we are, but just loving on them and caring for them. It was great to see them doing that at church under the bridge last night. One thing that stuck out to me, there's a guy, a couple of guys here, they get their haircuts by this guy named Daniel. Supposedly he's really good. I haven't made my way to Daniel yet. I still go to this nice salon called Great Clips. But I will say, I only use one girl. Her name is Starla. So I call up there, hey, Starla working? Right? She knows? She knows how to do that zero fade good, which I haven't done in a while, obviously. But Daniel, he was out there cutting haircuts last night. And Church on the Bridge is like a one-hour thing, 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock to 7 o'clock. We were done tearing everything down. He was back there, had his chair, his little suitcase, get up, combs, clippers, everything. He was there until 8:30 last night cutting hair. I know. It was amazing. We were talking to Mike, one of the guys with 16 Cents Ministry, who puts it on. He said, this is only the second time they've ever had anybody there cutting hair. I could imagine a lot of these guys living on the streets and stuff. And there was a couple girls, too, in there, I think. It's been a while since they've had a haircut. They just want a fresh look and something like that. But it was amazing to see him give up his time and probably money, you know, being out there and doing that to serve. But I know it was a blessing to them. There was a lot of hair cut off. We could have made a few coats last night. It was amazing. But anyway, so today we're going to talk about being bold. I have had something on my mind for a while. I've been wanting to do, if you don't know, I'm the youth pastor here as well. And my heart is for our teenagers, along with, you know, our church as a whole. But here lately, my mind and my heart has been on our teenagers and specifically our parents who are, you know, parenting the teenagers. And even if you don't have teenagers yet, your parents in general. You know, I've thought about doing like a parent small group just for, you know, parents of our teenagers who want to know more about their teenagers, but from somebody else's outlook, because parents or teenagers, they don't really care about talking to their parents too much. I didn't, so I don't blame them. But I think it's cool. But so today I'm gonna talk, but from kind of like a perspective of a youth pastor, with our teenagers in mind. It's not gonna be geared to just our teenagers, but I do want to include them in on this because I love them, and I think we should love them as well, and they love the church as well. So today in Be Bold, I'm gonna talk about the story or the servant Joshua. Okay, so Joshua was a leader. He was to take Moses' place. Moses had brought the people out of Egypt, and they were the Israelites. And, you know, across the sea, they were in the wilderness for a while, but before they could proceed and cross the Jordan into the promised land, because of a mistake that Moses made, he wasn't able to do that. So whenever he died, God put Joshua in his place, and Joshua was going to take the people across the Jordan River and into the promised land. The scripture I'll read out of is out of Joshua 1. The first part of Joshua 1, verses 1 through 6, it's just him saying, these are your instructions, and I want you to follow me. So let's read in Joshua 1, 1 through 5. I am reading, I told the first service, I'm reading out of a different translation. It's not a well-known translation. It's actually kind of hard to come by. But I like it because it, they actually use the word bold in one instance, which I'll get to later on. But the wording in here is very relatable, so I wanted to use this version. It's on the screen, and you can also read along with your Bibles or your phone or whatever you use. Joshua 1, verses 1 says, "After the death of Moses, the Lord's disciple, God spoke to Moses. Moses' assistant, whose name was Joshua, the son of Nun, and said to him, 'Now that my disciple is dead, you are the new leader of Israel. Lead my people across the Jordan River into the promised land.'" Now, okay, I'll say this right now. For me, if I was, you know, coming up, this older guy who was just leading all of Israel, and then God puts me up and said, "All right, now it's your turn. You're the new leader." And, you know, the Israelites, the whole community of Israelites was large. They expected it somewhere, I've read, anywhere between 2 and 2.4 million people. That seems a lot of people for me to be sitting in the desert in the middle of nowhere. But there was many tribes among them, and it gets into it later in Joshua. You can read into that on your own. But for me, if I was to be put into a position, it was like, okay, the old leader's gone. You're going to be put in this place. So you're the new CEO of this company, the president, and you're just going to take it and run with it, and you've got to do this. And by the way, I'm going to send you across a river with 2.8 million people or 2.4 million people, whatever it is. I would be a little overwhelmed. But he says to him, "I say to you what I said to Moses, wherever you go will be part of the land of Israel, all the way from the Negev Desert in the south to the Lebanon Mountains in the north, and from the Mediterranean Sea in the west to the Euphrates River in the east." That area, if you look at it on the map, is just east of the Mediterranean Sea. It's probably the size of like Texas, maybe a little bit smaller than Texas. So it was like he was giving them. If you know where Israel is today, it's a little larger than the current Israel, the modern day Israel, but it's a large area. But he says, "No one will be able to oppose you as long as you live, for I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I will not abandon you or fail to help you." I know for me, I kind of consider my part. I've shared before, whenever I moved to Arizona, I kind of considered that my time in the desert. There's many times in Scripture where some of the servants of God and even Jesus himself went into the desert, into the wilderness, where they actually grew closer to God, and that's where their ministry kind of blossomed, and God took them back and used them in certain situations in their life. And when I moved to Arizona, I kind of considered that. You know, when I went out there, I was very shy, bashful. I was scared to do this. I probably wouldn't have ever done this, and I really didn't want to do it this morning, but Derek made me. I'm just kidding. But you know, whenever I sang, I would sing with a guitar, but I would sing, if you're not familiar with singing, you wouldn't know, but I sing with like a head voice, where it's just, "No shadow you won't light up." I didn't know how to use my gut instead of, "No shadow you won't light," you know, getting into it. Yeah. So I kind of got my comfortability there, I guess. I put together a band, a youth band. It was a very talented group of kids. And they didn't have anybody who was willing to sing, so I led the youth band on our Sunday night worship service. And I guess they're younger. I felt like, okay, I can lead in front of younger people, you know. I'm better than they are. Not really, I'm just kidding. But that's where I kind of developed my voice and got comfortable with it. And in the same way, you know, a lot of times when we're in the desert of our life, that's where God really wants to work on us and mold us into who he calls us to be. A lot of those times we get stuck in those desert places, like in the song we just sang, that we build up these walls, and it's a dark place in our life, and we're sometimes hiding from God, or we've drifted so far from God, it's hard for us to get back to him. But Joshua is a great example of a Christ follower, a God follower. He devoted his life to following God and giving his life, everything to him, and saying, "You know what, in everything I do, I want people to see you in my life, and I will lead your people however you want me to go." So I'm going to cover 3 points this morning in being bold. Number one is be bold in your church. And being bold in our church, well, let me say this. I used a lesson, it was a few weeks ago, I can't remember, it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, with our youth, talking about, are we still sitting at the kids' table? How many of y'all have been at a Thanksgiving dinner, Christmas dinner with all your family, and then you've got the parents' table and then the kids' table? Like, sometimes they're in different rooms or they're right beside each other. I still sit at the kids' table. Not really. So it really depends, but I'm is it 13 on Papa's side? On your side? Grandkids. He said, sounds good. Cool. That's what I said. That's what I said the first service, and my brother was like, so nobody knows. There's just kids out there. I'm the oldest, and then of me and my two brothers, we're oldest. We're in the top four. There's one between the other two, but there's Joey, who now is six or seven. Eight? Okay, he's up there. Still, I'm 32 and he's eight. So there's a huge difference. If I was to still sit at a kid's table with him, you know, he's wanting to talk about Legos and Spider-Man and stuff like that. I'm not as interested in those things. Well, I am now because, you know, I like to consider myself a kid and hang out with him. But, you know, at one point, you know, I was like, when do I get to be the big kid and sit at the big kid table? And with the youth, I use this scenario. It becomes a point in your life where you've got to say, you know what, I'm going to grow up. And I want to be a part of the church. Instead of our churches being segregated and just have, if they don't want to come here on Wednesday nights, Sunday mornings, they just want to come on Wednesday nights, do their church thing, and say, you know what, I don't like being in big church because it's for old people, so I'm just going to do Wednesday nights. They're not getting plugged in, they're not getting involved, they're not serving in the church. There's a ratio that Fuller Institution has been putting out for several years now, and it's 1 to 5, which is one adult to every 5 students. And I shared this with them. And they were like, whoa, when I told them. But if we have one adult for 5 students, so that means if you go on a trip or we're having a Sunday school or a small group, you have somebody that's going to be over those 5 kids, which is pretty close to what we try to do now. You know, if we go to camp or whatever, we got enough kids where you have 5 or 6 kids that you're responsible for or you can watch over. This new thing that they've just started, you know, the past 2 years, is they're pushing for instead of 1 to 5, it's going to be 5 to 1. So it'd be 5 adults to every 1 student. Which, when you hear that, you're like, you'd need a lot of adults to do that. But they're not talking about saying, hey, you 5 adults teach this 1 kid in a Sunday school class. Their desire is to see 5 adults pour their hearts and their lives into 1 student. And not just constantly throughout the week. If a student comes through this door, which most of the time I watch them, they come in, they say hey to me and their friends, and they'll walk back and sit on this back row or with their parents or whatever, and then that's it. But how many people like are welcoming the door, giving them hugs and making them feel just as welcome as the adults are? If we could have 5 adults pouring into 1 student, whether it's just saying hey, or if you can get, if Amber... She's gotten really good about, you know, having kids Snapchats. She knows all about that. I don't. And cell phones. Just send them texts, man. Hey, hope you're having a good week, kind of thing. If you have kids that you're close to, or you see in this church somehow you're connected, whether it's a friend's kid, if we can do that, then it's going to make them feel more comfortable when we do come in here in corporate worship as a whole church. And there's no adult table and no kids table. In the same way, us as adults, we want to separate ourselves because some of us have grown up in church and some of us have not grown up in church. Some of us are, you know, new believers or young believers. And a lot of times, the young believers don't feel like they're built up or equipped enough to serve in the church, to be a part of the church, because they haven't been around it enough. And then a lot of times the older believers, they feel like, well, I've been doing this my whole life. I don't need to do it. So at what point do we say, okay, I need to be involved in a church? Well, God says if you're a child of mine, you are called to serve. You're called to be a disciple. You're called to work. So it's our job to do that, to step up. I'm going to read out of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 through 6. It says, are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, like some, letters of recommendation to you or from you? Okay. as a youth pastor, I've had several students over the years who call me, text me, or whatever, and say, hey, I need you to write me a letter of recommendation for this job or for a club, or, you know, some I've had a couple of them that go into the military, and they want a recommendation for that. It's just the saying, you know what, this person is equipped and ready to do this job. In the scripture, we'll go on, it says, you yourselves are our Father, written in on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You know that you are Christ's letter, delivered by us, not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. And the scripture is saying that you know, because you are a child of God, because Christ is in you, he has given you the approval and told you that you are enough, you are good enough to go and do these things because you have the Spirit of the living God living inside of you. And a lot of times, we as Christians, we don't feel like we're worthy enough or we're good enough to fulfill these positions because we haven't been recommended by somebody or asked by somebody to do these positions. God's not asking us to sit back and wait. He's asking us to step forward. I used the illustration of there was some guys that I was on the way down the camp with. They rode with me, and you know, we were talking a little bit about some stuff, and then, you know, later on there was a few others that we was talking to. It was the same guys, but it wasn't a whole group. And we were talking about. I asked them. I said, so, you know, when you guys come to church and you just come in, you sit on the back row, do you, like, not like coming here? What's the deal? What do you feel like? He said, well, we just go in there and feel like nobody's talking to us. We feel like it's just, you know, all for old people. It's not fun and stuff or whatever. I said, well, I hate to hear that. I didn't say that, but, you know, that's what I hear in my heart. I said, so what are you doing to get involved in the church? And they said, well, what do you mean? I said, well, if you're just walking in and sitting down, what are you doing to further yourself into the church, to make yourself be a part of the church? And they said, I said, well, let me put it this way. You guys play baseball. Did the coach just come to you and say, hey, I want you on my team? No. He said, you got to try out like everybody else, and if you're good enough, you're going to be on the team. God wants us to just step in and say, you know what, I want to do this. You might step into a position that you feel like, that might not work for me. I'll try something else. But there's no failure in serving God. There's people here that want to do stuff that's out in the open. Not everybody's got to get up here like Amy and give the announcements. You can have people like her husband, Rick, who's upstairs turning the slides. He will not get on the stage. I'll tell you that right now. If he does, it's because he's hiding behind somebody. I mean, we've got people who can come in here on Sunday mornings and make coffee. We have kids that need to be ministered to and loved on. We're getting ready to open a wing with more rooms. That means more rooms. That means more volunteers, more helpers, more teachers, more leaders. God's calling us to be bold in the church, to step out, to make a difference, and say, God, I want to be used by you. It doesn't matter of our age. It doesn't matter if we're a young believer, a new believer. We're all going to grow together. No one is better or higher than the other. So he calls us to be bold in the church. Number two, be bold in your workplace. And since I am talking to the youth here, I'll say / school. For me, growing up, you know, I was always tried to be as popular as I could, to be in the cool crowd. And at times I would do, you know, try to do whatever I could to be popular. You know, I wanted to wear the right clothes. I wanted to be around the right people and say the right things. And I just had a flashback come over my head right now. Holy cow. You know, there was times where I even made fun of kids or did some stuff that was mean to try to make myself look better. I would use language that was not uplifting towards God, and you know, even made myself probably look bad in certain situations. There's a lot of people that I grew up with and went to church with and knew that I was in church and involved in a church, and if they see me at school and they're like, dude, I thought you went to church. I thought you were a Christian. Like, I am. But I was kind of living a double standard. A lot of times in our workplaces or in schools, wherever we're at in our life, You know, we go in getting caught up in the world around us and in the atmosphere of what we're in. But God calls us to be different, to be bigger than the world around us. For me, I stepped into the phase of ministry whenever I was 21 years old. God called me into ministry. I didn't know what I was doing. I was scared to death, and I really didn't want to tell anybody that I felt like God had called me into ministry. But the church prayed for me, prayed over me, and eventually I started a youth group. It started out as a few teenagers, and then shortly it grew, it like just blew up in my face. It was really exciting, and it was cool to watch them grow. But once it started getting big, I was like, oh crap, I don't know what I'm doing. I've always been around church. I've been in church, and I knew all the stories of the Bible. You know, I knew Adam and Eve, David and Goliath, Noah's Ark, Moses. You know, all the cool stories that always stuck. You know, they used the felt boards with the little felt characters. You know, they stick on there. Those were cool. I never got to play with them, but I always wanted to. So I knew those things about the Bible. I knew those stories, but I never knew how to connect it all together. And you know, I felt like I didn't know the word good enough, or I wasn't good enough to actually teach these youth, because there's other people that are out there smarter than me, who's been in the word, who's got more stuff memorized. Like I told the first service, I've never been one to memorize things. You know, I can memorize a verse of scripture. You know, we used to do this thing where you'd write it on a piece of paper, put it on your mirror, and while you're brushing your teeth, that's how you memorize scripture. Well, by the time I get to the next week, I could do it. The next week, I start a new one, I done forgot the last one. Derek, he's good about it. Steven, this dude right here, I told him, I really envy his wisdom and knowledge of the word, because it just absorbs into him, and he speaks it, not just his ability to read, I mean, to know the word, but his ability to apply it to life. He calls me and texts me all the time. Just this morning, he prayed over me upstairs, just pouring the word into me. And at times, even still, I'm like, a youth will call me or have me something. And there's this one guy in particular, and I'm feeling like, God, I should know a scripture I need to throw out to him right now, but I'm just drawing a blank, you know. And at times, I still feel like I'm not good enough. And a lot of times, we don't want to serve or be used because we don't feel like we're good enough. And then when we're in public places, like our workplaces, or at schools, on the ball fields, or wherever it is, that's where we're less likely to want to be used by God, because we don't want to look like a fool. We don't want to look like an idiot. 1 Timothy 4:12 has been like a verse that has just kind of been with me since I was about 21. I was about 22 years old. My old youth pastor actually gave it to me. One time when I had a talk with him, and he shared it with me, not knowing that I was going through this, but to just, you know, just send me a word of encouragement. He knew that I was younger, but I guess he just felt like I needed it at the time, and I believe it was from God. It says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." And that it took me a little bit to like just take it in, because, you know, I took it for what it read, as in being young. And Timothy, he was a young person. He was young in his ministry, and his desire was to go and do and be what God wanted him to be, but he was scared. He was timid. I was in the same boat, but when I read this scripture, I let go of the being young part, and it strives to just let, like in that moment of my life, let the youth see God in my life, the way that I spoke, the way that I talked, the way that I lived my life, whether I was a Bible scholar or just, you know, loving on them and letting them see God through the way I lived my life. I think that was better for them in that moment of their life, because they enjoyed being around me and wanted me to be a part of their life. And I think that's what teenagers need. They need people who are going to be examples by the way they live their lives, surrounding them and pouring into them, going back to the 5-to-1 ratio. It's God calling us to work and be a part of other people's lives. And in our workplaces and in our schools, I tell the teenagers all the time, when you leave here on Wednesday night, I try to leave them with something to do over the next week, until the next week and they come back. But how can you go into your school and you make a difference in somebody else's life? Or how can you go into the school and change something about your life that reflects God more than it did before? We've all got barriers in our life. We all got faults and failures in our life that we've got to let go of. And a lot of times it's those things that keep us from being bold because we're scared to, because we know that if we do stand up and be bold for Christ, they're going to come back and throw in our face, "Well, I just saw you do this." We've got to let go of the old and begin and keep going with the new. For the law, we just read, the law is written on our hearts. The Spirit of God is living within us, and He's made us new. Number three, we just did number two. Be bold in your home. This one here is my favorite, because I've kind of got to live this out a little bit over the past few years. We've got two kids, two girls. Kylie will be 5 in a couple weeks, and Adam will be 2 in December. I'll share this story with you. When Kylie, it was a few weeks, I don't know, probably a month ago now, Kaylee, she watches our daughters during the week over the summer since she's out of school, and kind of babysits them and all that good stuff. And one day I came home from work, and I walked in, put my stuff down, went to the bathroom. You know what you do in the bathroom. And I was just looking around, and I saw a big X on the back of the door. I was like, look, they're laughing because they know exactly where this is going. I was like, oh, that's cool. I didn't know what it was. I just saw a purple X. And then I was washing my hands. I dried my hands on the towel, and as I lifted out the towel, there was an X behind the towel on the little towel hanger. And then I saw one on the door frame, and I was like, wow, this is crazy. I was not that calm, believe me. I opened the door, and as I opened the door, I noticed there's the little side part of the door, the thin side. There's a couple X's, and then the section like this, it was just colored in. I was like, oh, cool. You know, I didn't say, oh, cool. I was actually, at that point, pretty upset. So I just ventured off. As I come out into the hallway, I saw a couple on the door frames, and one was on the, we got a little hot water heater closet, and there was one on that. And then I was like, well, let me go look in her bedroom. I did. There was one on the door frame as you go in, and the door. And then I go in, I cut the light on, and I just look around. I'm like, X's everywhere, you know? There was some on her door, the inside, this thing in the door. She had colored in that one, too, on her closet door. She'd done some X's. She did it on her her whiteboard and then the window frame. And she'd done a couple in Adeline's room in her nursery. And then we found some later that we didn't even know were there. One was on the couch itself. And then one was on the high chair. So I was mad. I was very livid. I don't remember if I had a bad day or something, but I screamed at her. I screamed at her, and I didn't feel bad at all at the moment, but I felt bad. This breaks my heart to say this. I actually asked my daughter, I said, are you stupid? I know that. Anyway, the next day, I asked her, Kylie. Well, I apologized that night, but the next day I asked her. I said, Kylie, do you know Daddy loves you? She said, yeah. I said, do you know Daddy loves you even when I'm mad at you? She said, I don't know. So we talked for a minute, and I said, Kylie, Daddy loves you no matter what. Even if you mess up, I'm always going to love you. Daddy was just upset because you did something that we didn't want you to do. But we never told you not to write on the wall, so you have that. She knows not to write on the walls now. To say the least. So we had an adventure with a magic eraser and all that good stuff. So many times in our lives, in our home life, we have instances where our kids, our spouses, the people that we love the most, we let them down. We let them see a side of us that is not God exemplifying, because we get caught up in the moment. We get caught up in the world. Shari King at summer camp, she spoke one night, and her thing was, don't go off your feelings. Leave the feelings aside. You need to go from your heart. Go through faith. And so many times we do get caught up in the moment where our feelings, our anger, our hurt, our emotions take the best of us and get control of us. And we're not showing God to our kids or to our spouses like we're supposed to. And a lot of times we're letting the things of the world come in between us. Because we get too busy. Joshua 24, verse 14 says, "Therefore fear the Lord and worship Him in sincerity and truth. Get rid of the gods your fathers worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and worship the Lord. If it doesn't please you to worship the Lord, choose for yourselves today which will you worship, the gods your fathers worshiped beyond the Euphrates River, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living." The gods that their fathers worshipped were the idols, the things of the world that they put before God. And he's saying, are you going to worship those things, or are you going to worship God, our God, the God? And he says, as for me and my family, this is what we're going to do. We're going to worship God. And a lot of times in our life, we get caught up in worshiping the other things. Parents, we get caught up in our jobs. We bring the stress of our jobs home. I'm guilty about it. I let everything that can happen in a day. Amber can tell you, Wednesday was a rough day for me. I let a gentleman who was working out here get under my skin a little bit. He said something hateful to me. And I didn't say anything hateful to him, but I may have been a little quirky with him. Let's just say that. He didn't like it, but you know, I let it carry on over to me. I felt bad, so I went and bought the whole crew Subway for lunch. But more so in just saying, you know what? I just want to let you know this is because we love you here at the church and we appreciate what you're doing. I said, I know it's hot out here. But we do appreciate what you're doing. He got better by the end of the day, and it was like everything was fine. He did say that it's the hardest job he ever did. But I'd say anytime you're doing sewage, it would stink both ways. You like that. But a lot of times in our homes, we let anything come between us. I will say my biggest failure at home, as far as, you know, mine and Amber's relationship, and she'll be the first one to say amen with this, is my cell phone.
Amen.
Yeah. I'll come home, I want to relax, and the thing that relaxes me is you know, I'll get on there and play a game. I may flip through Facebook, but mine's like the number games, like 2048. Have anybody ever played that, where you mix the numbers and you got to keep doubling to get the big square, big number? Anywho, that's just me. I don't play like Candy Crush and stuff like that. But it's anything to take my mind. It clears my mind in the moment from what's happened in the day, and then that way I can just get relaxed. But at the same time, I'm spending that time with my face in a phone when my kids are running around the house, acting crazy, having fun. My wife's pulling her hair out saying, "Can you help me?" And I'm like, I just need to relax for a minute. But what if we tag teamed it together? I'm sure that the busyness of me trying to corral these kids from doing stupid stuff is going to take my mind off of what had happened earlier in the day. And even if it didn't, me spending quality time with my family is going to be more important than anything that's on that phone. And a lot of times, we let those things come between us. Our parents, we've been bad about giving the devices to our daughter. I mean, if we want to vacuum or do something around the house and we want to do it really quick, we say, "Hey, Callie, just watch your iPad," and she'll sit there on the couch and watch it for hours. She'll watch it all day long. But what are we teaching her? We're just giving her an escape from something that she doesn't really need. We're taking the quality time out of our lives and spending time and having relations with one another instead of, you know, allowing God to use us all together as a home that's centered and built on the foundation of God and what He is. God calls us to be parents and then being relational as a husband and wife. So what are we worshiping in our homes? What are we putting the things of the world before God? Are we saying, you know what, God, I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better wife, a better father, a better mother. And to our teenagers, I want to be a better kid. When I know that my mom and dad's having a bad day, I'll vacuum the carpets for them, do something nice. I know Kaylee's like, hey, I ain't done that. But a step of doing something that's like that, that's going to be a bold move, especially for Jessica, because she knows Kaylee would never do that. I'm just kidding. She's right in front of me. That's why I'm picking on her. God wants us to be bold in our homes as we are called to be bold everywhere we go. But it starts in the home. A lot of parents, they'll call me and say, tell me what's wrong with my kid. And when I get off the phone, I'll look at Amber and say, you're the problem. In the same scenario with my daughter, if she's so addicted to TV screens, I say, what's your problem? I'm the problem. I gave it to her. I fed it into her mind. God wants us to be different. Be relational in your home. Love each other, because that's where it starts. When you go out into the world, it's going to make it easier to be bold, to carry God into the world with you. It's going to be better when you go to school and to work. And then when you come in here to church, you're God-filled, and you can come in here and you can worship freely without any distractions and allow Him to come in and actually change you and make you better. So that when this is just a refresher. This isn't church. You are the church. Church is outside of these walls in the world around us. So I want to close with this. If you will, bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm going to read this to you as a charge. This is out of Joshua. Joshua 1, verses 6. Be strong and brave, for you will be a successful leader of my people, and they shall conquer the land that I have promised to you. You need only to be strong and courageous and to obey to the letter every law Moses gave you. For if you are careful to obey every one of them, you will be successful in everything you do. Constantly remind the people about these laws, and you yourself must think about them every day and every night, so that you will be sure to obey all of them. For only then will you succeed. Yes, be bold and strong. Banish fear and doubt, for remember the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We've got to choose to allow God to be every part of our life. Even in these walls, most of the time we come in here with masks on, thinking everything is hunky-dory and everything is good to go. But those masks are what's keeping us from really seeing who God is in our life. If we're having to wear the mask here in God's house, here in the church, then how much easier or how much harder is it going to be when you leave here to show the people who God is in your life? In most cases, He's going to be non-existent because we're not bold enough, we're not strong enough to stand up and say, I'm a child of God, and I want to stand for Him. So this morning, I want you to choose. Choose to be bold. Choose to be strong. Choose to make a change in your life. Every Wednesday night, I try to leave our youth with something to change over the next week. I told you that before. This week, what can you do different in your life? What can you go and be different? How can you be a better father, a better parent, a mother, a child, a better co-worker, How can you be a better servant for God in the house in which you're sitting? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day, God. I thank you for loving us. God, I pray that in this time as we worship you, God, yeah, that you can just speak to us, God. Prick our hearts, God. Change our hearts. Mold us into what you desire for us to be, God, so that when we leave here, God, we can leave changed and a better person, more willing to stand up for what we believe in and to allow the world around us to see you more alive in us than ever before. God, we want to see you changing lives and use us to make the difference, God, to introduce the name of Jesus Christ to somebody else. God, in this time, just speak to us. Let us be bold, be strong, and be courageous. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.